Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. Love the concert last night. Hated the drive home. There was traffic. My life tends to wander between, you know, things that I love and things that make me crazy. I watch Jeopardy. Oh, I love Jeopardy. And then Kevin Can Wait comes on right afterwards. My eldest son and his partner live in Kitchener, 2 years now. And for the first year, they came to our house every weekend. For the whole weekend, week in, week out, made me crazy. Got home from the concert last night, and guess who was there waiting? They came to visit from Kitchener. Show us their new car, see the cat. They care a lot about the cat. Spend Sunday with us, which is great, because you know what? I haven't seen them since before Easter. So now their visits are things that I love. See, I'm stuck between. We got home and they wanted popcorn. Didn't I have a jar of it? It's there. They found the jar, but it doesn't say that you can microwave it. And they couldn't find a hot air popper. And they were dismayed and they were flummoxed. And I showed them this really cool, new, modern way to make popcorn. So I put a couple of tablespoons of oil in a pot and about a third of a cup of popcorn in that pot. I put that at medium heat and wow, it made popcorn. Crazy, I know. No microwave required, no hot air machine, just oil, heat in a pot. They were stunned. They truly were. They didn't realize that you could make popcorn old school. I had no idea. Makes good popcorn. Another thing that I love my faith. I have, after 50 years of searching and wrestling, found a comfort and confidence in my faith that challenges me and calms me, makes me more aware. I think it makes me a better person, a better neighbor, and it makes me truly, sincerely hopeful. What makes me crazy? Jesus pushers. And you know who I mean, right? There's no engagement, there's no discussion, just, you know, every answer to every question is Jesus. How do I get to know God? Jesus. How can I get a better job? Jesus. What's the secret to really moist chocolate cake? Jesus. No matter what the situation, without actually listening, they simply spout Jesus, as if they're getting paid a commission for everyone that they get on the team, you know? And those people embarrass me. They upset me. As far as I'm concerned, they give Christians a bad name. I think they give all people of faith a bad name. And I don't want to be one of them. So I'm not. I don't go around trying to convert people. I begin very few conversations with, have I told you about Jesus? But I do get the look from people from time to time. Like they think that I'm about to do that, you know? Because as soon as they discover that I'm Christian, or worse, a minister, they get this haunted look like I'm coming after them. Or they get this vicious look and they can't wait to come after me. In many places today, Christians are thought to be backward, anti-science, narrow-minded, bigoted, and angry. At least if you watch TV, that's the way that we seem to be. So I avoid association with them. I don't wear my collar all that often out in public. I often think of myself as sort of an undercover agent for the church. The name's Shelai, Reverend Shelai. And then I wonder why everybody seems to think that Christians are backwards, anti-scientific, narrow-minded, angry bigots. Well, maybe it's because the rest of us are also undercover, and so nobody knows. Such were my thoughts last night as I was making popcorn. Old school. Although I did add some Parmesan and a little truffle oil. Oh, so good. Anyway, all this brings me around to the story of Philip and the eunuch. Now, I'm not sure how historical this is. I can't say for sure if it happened. I suspect that it might not have happened, but I'm pretty sure that it's a really good way to make popcorn. I mean, it's an old school way of doing things that works so well, you kind of wonder why you ever needed a new way. See, Philip approached an Ethiopian eunuch. He'd overheard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he felt compelled to approach him. Now, you may indeed find this story instructive and say, well, for sure, Norm, if I ever come across an Ethiopian eunuch, I will be sure to go right up to him and talk about God. And I confess that it might be tricky to properly identify him as an Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, how can you verify that he's from Ethiopia, not from Somalia or Kenya? Like, how will you know? But I think the story's meant to push us a little further. It's about approaching outsiders. How good are you at that? Approaching somebody who has different customs, a different history, a different point of view? I mean, it's all well and good to talk to those who vote the way you do, but are you also willing to talk, not convert, but talk to somebody with a different political viewpoint? Or someone who comes from a country that you don't know or understand? Would you sit down and talk about Jesus with a queer poet who voted for Trump and plays salsa music on accordion at bar mitzvahs? Philip would, and he'd make popcorn. And you think, well, you know, if the person was reading scripture out loud, yeah, I might. Okay, but what if it wasn't scripture? What if she was wondering out loud about the deeper things in life? How can I be happy? Why is this happening to me? Why is the world like this? What can I do? Because that's a more likely scenario, isn't it? Someone at work that you know a little but not too much, you have nothing in common, but you walk by her every day as you come into work, she's outside having a cigarette. You heard that her mom died just a couple days ago, and as you make your way into work, you see her having her cigarette, but she's leaning against the building, and you can tell that she's been crying. She might even be speaking. Why? Would you stop and talk to her? Would you invite her to lunch and hear her story? Would you dare to tell her your story? Maybe even what you believe about the world, the universe, God. Would you dare that much? Philip would. And he'd have popcorn. Notice that Philip doesn't tell the eunuch what to do or what to think. He engages in a conversation. He meets the eunuch where he is, in a chariot, and in the mood for discussion. And you and me, we meet people in all sorts of places. At dinner, at Value Mart, at a wedding, in the hospital. We meet them in happy times, the birth of a child, a new job, on vacation. And we meet them in hard times, the death of a loved one, in times of failing health. When disaster is struck nearby, looking for work, needing a break. Each instance invites us into a particular way of engaging. See, it's not about selling a product or signing up a client. It's about respectful discussion and connection. It's about building community, one person at a time. It's about listening to another person's story and listening to their questions without judgment, without agenda. Philip did not say to the eunuch, you've been reading this all wrong. Although from Phil's perspective, he was reading it wrong. He doesn't say to him, you dummy, clearly Isaiah was talking about Jesus and this is how you know it. And now that you know it, join the club. He didn't do that. He asked, what are you reading? And he followed it up with, and what do you make of it? Do you understand it? And then he confessed that he didn't get it entirely. And he invited Philip to share his thoughts. And Philip shared his thoughts. But it started with, what are you reading? Do you understand it? Do you see the exchange? Would you be willing to listen to someone tell you about God and what they understand about the deeper things in life, even if there was a really good chance that you wouldn't be in agreement? Would you be willing to share your thoughts on the same subject, even if you knew for sure now that they weren't going to be the same? Philip would. And it doesn't end with discussion. Moved by what he's discovered, the eunuch asked to be baptized. Now, Naturally, we all know, Philip should explain to this fellow the nature of baptism, the deeper meanings, the traditions. Obviously, he's going to need to come to church for at least 6 weeks, probably come to an information evening. He's going to have to pick godparents, and then I'll be prepared to answer some very specific questions about the Trinity, resisting evil, have a small luncheon afterwards for friends. And maybe, just maybe, Phil was going to say all of those things, but the Ethiopian eunuch, the official of the Candace herself, says, "Hey, there's a puddle over here. Let's do it." So if someone came to you or to your church wanting to be baptized, but they didn't know all of your traditions, didn't understand all of your ways, didn't have time for the classes, and frankly, didn't fit your vision of the perfect baptism candidate, would you do it anyway? Phil would. See, that's how community grows and changes. By embracing those who look different, act differently, have new traditions, new customs, have no traditions, no customs. By daring to be open, we connect and we share what we have of value. And by being open, we are inevitably changed and often moved, challenged by those who come in. But notice, the eunuch goes away rejoicing, and the story ends. We don't know what church he joins. We don't know if he signs up for PAR or goes on a committee. We don't know if he offers any financial support or sings in the choir. We don't even know if he stays Christian. Would you waste your time talking to, listening to, engaging, inviting people in, even changing our traditions and rules without any promise of return on your investment? Should we really put the time in if they're not going to put their bums in our seats? Philip would. Absolutely. And Philip makes great popcorn. That's my point. Without a microwave or hot air popper, old school, he makes great popcorn. In these days when the Christians that offend me seem to get most of the headlines, now, you know, refusing to bake cupcakes for gay weddings or decrying Muslims as the single greatest threat to everything or just spewing hate and bigotry, insisting that victims deserve their fate for failing to pray properly or pray enough, I think that the rest of us need to take the story of Philip seriously. I think we need to dare to be a little more like him. We need to not be afraid to talk to people with our incomplete faith, even though we don't know it all. We need to meet people where they are, where they live, where they are in their faith journey. We need to engage in their questions with them without judgment or insistence on a point of view. Just engage. No conversation you're going to have with somebody is going to take God away from you. But you might be amazed at what you create together in discussion. We need to not be afraid to talk about Jesus as we understand Jesus. And by the way, you understand Jesus one way, and you another way, and you another way, and you're all different from me because Jesus is that big, that remarkable, that we can all have different understandings and connections and things to share. We need to invite people into community, even if it means letting go of our own habits and traditions from time to time, allowing them to have their own way of doing things, and perhaps discovering a new way together. And I think we need to worry less about winning them over, signing them up, and more about sharing God's love and sending them away rejoicing. It's old school, but it works. At least it worked for Philip. Now, before I wrap up, though, some will note that there is a supernatural element to this story. An angel of the Lord sends Philip to the place where he meets the eunuch. The Spirit tells Philip to go over and get in the chariot with the eunuch. After the baptism, that Spirit snatches Philip away and sends him to Azotus. And there you go. Backward thinking, anti-scientific, ghost stories. That's the problem with the faith. Maybe. Or maybe what we're being told is that every now and then, when we dare to engage ourselves in the deeper questions, when we dare to engage with others in their questions, when we dare to share of ourselves, we will find ourselves needing to trust in something more than a guidebook, more than answers on a page, something more than a recipe, a gut instinct for some, a sense of spirit to the others, a desire to love for still others. But as we share with others, we don't need to be afraid that we don't have all the answers, that we don't know exactly what to do, because we're not alone. This faith that we share is not ours alone. The love that we risk and share, it's not ours alone. We ain't gonna run out. We are always with God, and God is always with us. This faith that we dare to share is an invitation for another to engage with God. And as soon as that happens, it stops being our faith and becomes theirs. This love that we spread around so foolishly to outsiders and non-believers is the love of God that we couldn't keep bottled up even if we wanted to. And when we take it seriously, it calls us again and again and again to places that we've never been before, to people that we've never met, empowering us to love beyond our own natural inclinations or abilities. So if this story is indeed supernatural, it's only because it's inviting us to be more than ordinary. It's inviting us, you, me, to be extraordinary and assuring us that we can be. We truly are capable of being extraordinary and even supernatural. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your Spirit. Your Spirit that takes us to places we've never been, invites us into engagements that we would never have imagined, and prepares us, supplies us, and so often sends us all away rejoicing. God, let us not be afraid to follow your Spirit. Let us not be afraid to listen, to look, to speak, or to love. Let us truly love and live like we know that we are not alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.